Hey, everyone. Just real quick before we get into Exodus chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39, we haven't announced, we haven't, let everyone know about our missionaries that we've been supporting now for, I guess, the last 5 years or so, and that is the Martos family. They are in, what they did was they planted a church in Spain, and this was when we first started ourselves, and so our heart has been with them, and we've always we've been led to support them. And so they are the Martos family, and they're in Rincón de la Victoria, and that is in a coastal town of Spain. And so I encourage you, what I'd like to do is just bring them up. And that way we can spend a little bit of time just praying for them and all the work that the Lord's doing through them there in that that corner of the world. And he truly has been doing a work just as the Lord is doing here. And so again, it's the Martos family, Ivan and Eunice Martos, and our extended family out there. So let's pray for them and let's pray for our time this evening. Father, we are so thankful, Lord. We are encouraged by all that you're doing, not only here at our church called Refuge, Father, here in Riverside, California, but we are also encouraged by what you're doing in various parts of the world within the body. We thank you, Lord, for putting it on Ivan's heart to start a church in a place where it is heavily populated with the Catholic religion and with other religions, Lord, and it's very secularized. And, Lord, it has been definitely hard soil, Lord, to tend to and till. And yet, Lord, you are doing a mighty work in that through that family and in that very place that you sent him to. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to use them mightily. Father, I pray that your spirit would move, Father, that they would continue to reach the lost, and Lord, you would receive all the glory. I pray, Father, that more would be led to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and Lord, that you would continue to pour your anointing oil upon Ivan as he pastors, as he shepherds, Lord, those that you have entrusted to him. So we thank you for them, and we lift them up to you. We also ask, Father, for your blessing upon our time this evening in your word. I ask, Lord, that it would be a time of drawing closer to you, of being encouraged by your word. I mean, just the very things that we'll be looking at this evening should serve as a source of encouragement to us to apply our hand to the plow that much more and to serve you and to know that you desire to do a work in and through us. And, Lord, if we just look to you and keep our eyes fixed on you, you will use us to the completion of your plans through us within your church. And so, Lord, we commit this evening into your hands, Lord. We ask your blessing, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I wasn't kidding. We are going through chapters 36 through 39 this evening, but much of it is what we've already covered. It's the tabernacle, all its furnishings, its coverings, the courtyard and all of that. So we're not actually going to read through much of these chapters, but you can on your own. It basically matches up with I believe it's chapter 25 and then on through that, through those chapters. All right, so the title of this evening's message is Done as the Lord Commanded. Done as the Lord Commanded. Thank God that it is he who finishes the work that he's begun in us. It's him that does it. He not only finishes it, but if you think about it, he's actually the one that does the work. You see, in and of ourselves, we have nothing good to offer. So anything that is good, we need to give him praise for and give him credit for as well. It's all his glory. But that's also if we surrender to him, if we allow him to do so in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, in the next chapter, in chapter 2 of Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes in verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And so that is actually, you know, what I was saying is that he's the one that's working through us. He uses us as vessels or instruments in his hands to do the work that he has planned to do. Now, our relationship with the Lord should be always one of surrender. And I bring that up often because I know it all too well personally in my life that I simply need to continually surrender to him. You know, think about it, how it is that we contend with the Lord at, you know, in many instances throughout, you know, could be throughout the day. And really, we need to come to a place to where we're simply surrendering to his will, according to his will, and trust in his spirit, and we do things in his strength. Now, this does simply require a complete submission and surrender of ourselves, our entire person. It must be a willingness and a desire born, not out of duty, but out of a love for Jesus Christ. And I have to say, at the same time and in the same breath, it is most difficult because of the battle that we have with the flesh, with the world, and with Satan himself. Even the Apostle Paul expressed it in Romans chapter 7. I'm sure you've heard it said, "That which I know to do, I don't do. That which I know not to do, I do." You know, it's like this battle that we have. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul, the same one who wrote that, also said, "Hey, I am chief of all sinners." Why? Because he knew himself. And as we draw closer to the Lord, we understand that the battles that we have each and every day support that truth that God has in his word. But it isn't that we can't, or else God wouldn't have called us to do this work, and that he desires to do this work through us. But I believe, according to the word, that we should learn how to allow God to trust in him, to express that faith, to do the work through us. That's, I've told you this the last couple of weeks, I think several times. The only confidence I have none in my flesh, I have none in any ability that I have. I know that everything that I do that's worth anything is all because of what he's doing through me. And that is true for you, though. It's not just true for the person who is, you see, actively doing the work of the ministry. It's true for every single person who calls on the Lord as Lord and Savior. He desires to do that work through you. And it is possible to do that on a consistent basis. This evening, we have before us an example of a group that is very imperfect. Very imperfect. A people who were chosen by God. They were and are his people. They have failed miserably time and time again. We've seen examples of that right before us. And yet, as they repent and turn back to God, they're still used by God. God never turns his back on them. He never forsakes them. This evening, we have before us an example of a group of very imperfect people who complete a work that God has commanded and ordained for them to do. So, done as the Lord commanded, it is possible, and I hope that you are encouraged this evening by what we have before us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them. So, let's continue on. We already covered verse 1 of chapter 36. We're picking up at verse 2, and then we'll go from there. All right, so verse 2 of chapter 36. "And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary." Let's stop there for a moment. So Moses was commanded by the Lord to call those who have already been stirred, for all the, you know, calling all of those who were willing. You know, sometimes within the church, we're We're stirred up ourselves. We're stirred up. We're willing. We are just biting at the bit, so to speak. We want to go. Let's do something. And what we still need, though, is not just that stirring, not just that willingness, but then an opportunity. And as you hear of these opportunities, that's your call. That's like, okay, so you're willing, you're stirred by the Lord, step out, and he blesses that work. Moses called those who would lead and oversee the work. So he called the two, Bezalel and Aholiab, he called them two, but he called all the people who he had equipped, who he had anointed with his spirit. Again, we see who has enabled, who he had enabled each one to do this God-ordained work. They all came together. He had given each craftsman skill, that is, knowledge and understanding. The knowledge to do the work, this amazing work that they did, but also an understanding. You know, those two need to go hand in hand. It's just not academic knowledge. It's not just book knowledge that we need, but also a working knowledge of an understanding of this knowledge, of this information that we have before us, how to apply it. He had awakened each craftsman to get up and do the work. And I love that this is the work of the Lord. And this is what we see before us. This church, I'm very blessed by seeing it awaken. You know, not just stirred, not just giving you the ability, but you guys have been awakened and you've responded to the Lord. That's why, like in the children's ministry, I can just glorify the Lord because we have filled a need. You have filled a need. But that's God doing that. That's not anyone else. That's God doing it in your hearts, and you have been awakened by him, and you have responded accordingly. Because likewise, God has given us all that we need to know. He's given us the ability to understand because of his spirit and be awakened, made alive in the spirit, and to complete the work that God has called us to in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." That's why as we come to know the Word of God, we are drawing closer to Jesus Christ himself. And in that nearness, in that relationship with him, we have everything at our disposal that has to do with godliness and life. Everything. That's why as we counsel, we won't give you our own opinions. We will give you the Word of God. Why? Because that applies to everything that you're going through. The knowledge and understanding we need is found in Jesus Christ. As we come to know him through his word, that is the Bible, and by the Spirit, he's the one who gives us understanding. And we must also come to understand that this work is to his own glory and excellence, which means that we are to do it truly as unto God and give him the very best. That is excellence. Let's give him the very best that we have to offer. Not our leftovers. That's why, as we give our, we're called to give our offering, we're called to give our tithes, it should be the very first things, the very best that we have to offer. Our time, we should give them our very best. The quality of our work, the excellence of it, it should be our very best. And we see that exemplified with the Israelites, as they're putting together the tabernacle, as God has commanded them to do this, they did it exactly how he had instructed them to do so. So Moses brings them together, and he simply points them in the direction of the work, giving them all the material, resources that the people freely gave, and he also, of course, gave them the details of all of the various items within the tabernacle that made up the tabernacle. So he brings it all together, he gives it to them, but there's more to it, because as they came together, as he told them, okay, now's the time. It's time to build those items that God has instructed us to build for the tabernacle. there was more than enough that was coming in, and it continued to come in. Let's continue verse 3, second portion here. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. This is awesome. This is a generous free will offering. By the way, the Lord made it very clear that this work was commanded and ordained by him. He gave the ability, the skill, to the people to do this work, to bring him glory. What we see here is not a receiving by the people, but rather they had everything in the Lord. What they were there to do was to give. I'm sorry to say, and I was thinking about this, the mentality of the church today. And it's really bothersome. I see how it's developed. And I do see how we can fall into that way of thinking. I have, unfortunately, seen people leave churches because they don't have a playground. I've seen people leave because they lack certain things. It's sad. It really is. Because what we always have before us is not what the Lord. If the Lord offers you certain things, then you stay. If he doesn't, then you go. No. It's all about sacrificial giving, about offering yourself in any way that he has need for within that local church. You never see in all of Paul's travels how it is that people are going from one church to another. No, they stay right where they're at, and they serve and they give. It's about giving of ourselves. It's not ever about taking. What does the church have to offer? If you have enough to offer me, then I'll stay. The word should be sufficient. And then an opportunity to serve as well. It's truly a burden on me, my heart. I'm sincere in saying this. I was thinking about it today. Just how, where we've gone in our thinking. We see these people give more than enough. It's a free will offering. In fact, that's exactly how it was referred to, both in this chapter and back in Exodus 35:29. When the people are generous and give freely and willingly, not out of compulsion or coercion or guilt or manipulation, there's no tricks, it's a blessing. And the work is blessed by God. There are no feelings of regret. There's no resentment for the work that is accomplished with what was given. It's given freely. Instead, you see a work being done, evidenced by what we read, that all of the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing. So they were all busy. They were doing this work. They were lending a hand. They came. And they all told Moses that the people had brought more than enough for the work that God had commanded for them to do. How awesome it probably was for Moses to hear that. People have given enough. We have enough. We also see as we read through these verses that this free will offering, it continued every day. Every day. It wasn't just on one day, but it was every day. They would come and they would come first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. Here, this is a free will offering. Here's some more. And here's some more. Until, like I said, these workers came and they said, hey, they've given enough. There was a willingness to give freely from the people, and there was integrity also within the group of people who were doing the actual work, saying that they had received more than enough to do what they needed to do. So they came. They didn't hoard it. They didn't put it away for themselves. But they said, hey, listen, we have enough. We're doing fine. What an amazing testimony of the work of God that was being accomplished through the people of God. It was all to the Lord's glory. And so in turn, Moses went to the people in the camp and he told them to stop giving. Everyone, men, women, everyone, please stop giving. We have more than enough. As he says, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Right? When God's people come together and freely give to the work of the ministry, it is a testimony that serves to glorify the Lord, as the work that God has ordained is fulfilled, it's completed. God still does his work in the same manner today. He gives everyone the skill necessary to do the work, and he stirs the hearts and minds of his people to do that work. If you want to jot down Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, makes reference to that fact. Now, I told you we weren't going to read a lot of what we're covering this evening. From this point, from verse, 10 or 8, I believe, 8, through Exodus 38, I believe it's 20, it all has to do with the actual furnishings of the tabernacle and the coverings and all of that. And so we're not going to cover that. Like I said, if you want to read it, you can. Now, let's turn to Exodus chapter 38, verse 21. And what we have before us is basically a construction project material report. So, verse 21 of chapter 38, we read, "These are the records of the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were recorded at the commandment of Moses. The responsibility of the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest, Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses, and with him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer and embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the gold that was used for the work in all the construction of the sanctuary, the gold from the offering was 29 talents and 730 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary. The silver from those of the congregation who were recorded was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels by the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka, a head, that is half a shekel by the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone who was listed in the records from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. The 100 talents of silver were for casting the bases of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil, 100 bases for the 100 talents, a talent, a base, and of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their capitals and made fillets for them. The bronze that was offered was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. With it, he made the basis for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the bronze altar and the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils of the altar, the bases around the court and the bases of the gate of the court, all the pegs of the tabernacle and all the pegs around the court." So, the material requisitioning and logistics was a responsibility of Ithamar, as we read through this, the son of Aaron, the brother of Moses. So it was Moses' nephew. And he was a Levite. And then you have Bezalel and Aholiab, basically the general contractors who oversaw the actual work. From this team came this report that we have before us. So let's break it down in what we would understand today. So the total cost of this project was over $13 million. And this was for the tabernacle, over $13 million. The total weight of the materials was over 19,000 pounds of gold, silver, bronze, covering materials, wood. Of gold specifically, it was over 2,200 pounds. Silver, over 7,500 pounds. The number of people who contributed, which the ones who were counted were men who were 20 years of age and older only. Remember that as Moses instructed the tent to stop giving, it was men and women stop. But what we see here is just the men being counted. Now, the count on here is 603,550. So, of course, I had to kind of figure things out and see, well, what did that come out to per person, right? And this was just the men. So the average person combined was less than 4% of the total weight, each one. And if you think about it, 19,000 pounds, it was very little that each one had to contribute in order to make up all of that material. And I thought, what a great testimony of how when everyone lends a hand, no one has to do a lot of work. It's everyone doing the work. The weight of it isn't that heavy. The burden isn't that much to carry for one person. Everyone does their work, and each person that we have before us contributed less than 4% of the total weight. It's pretty amazing considering what can be done when everyone does their part. Freely gives of themselves, and they continue to. They weren't stopping until they were told to stop. Some people, we know, it's given. They gave more than others. But all in all, there was more than enough that was received because of their generous giving. That was their hearts that was stirred up by the Lord. And they responded appropriately. They wanted to give. What we have next is, and we're going to skip this as well because we've gone through the details of the making of the priestly garments. And that is chapter 39, 1 through 31. We're going to go instead to verse 32 and cover 32 through 43. And that is the presentation of the completed items for the tabernacle. Verse 32. Oh, here we go. Okay. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the people of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its utensils, its hooks, its frames, its bars, its pillars, and its bases, the covering of tanned ram skins and goat skins, and the veil of the screen, the ark of the testimony with its poles and the mercy seat, the table with all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand of pure gold and its lamps, with the lamp set and all its utensils, and the oil for the light, the golden altar, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the entrance of the tent, the bronze altar, and its grating of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin, and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars, and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, its cords, and its pegs, and all the utensils, for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel had done all the work. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. So had they done it. Then Moses blessed them. Now, I know, although we covered all these chapters, it's actually going to be one of the shorter messages that we have. But nonetheless, I believe it's one that should give much encouragement as we've come to the completion of the tabernacle. Next week, we will cover the last chapter in Exodus, and then we'll go into Leviticus. But what we have before us is the presentation of the completed items for the tabernacle. Keep in mind everything that we've learned up to this point. How it is that the Israelites have been an imperfect people, always will be an imperfect people, and we are an imperfect people. And yet the Lord, through them, has done a work that is second to none. It's amazing what was accomplished by all these people who had willing hearts, who responded well. Now, who would know better than Moses to look over the finished product and actually know whether it was made according to the pattern that God had shown him on Mount Sinai? It would be him, right? And so they brought, once they were done with everything that Moses had instructed them to do, all of them brought everything that they had done and brought it before Moses. Brought it. Here's this, here's that. He looked at every detail of the construction of the tabernacle. And, you know, you think about it. We went over all the 19,000 pounds, all the gold, all the silver, all the bases, all the hooks, the poles, everything, all the details, of the embroidery that was done to the coverings inside, the goatskin. I mean, all of that was brought to him. And it had to be exactly the way the Lord had instructed him and commanded him to make. And he looked at it all. And it was done according to what the Lord had commanded. And it was at that time that he blessed them. He blessed them. The anointing of the tabernacle and all of its utensils will come. And it'll come next week as we wrap up Exodus. But first, Moses praised God for using all of these people to build everything necessary for the tabernacle as God had showed him. Praise God for the work that is done. But God blesses the people, not things. He blesses people, not things. You are a blessing to him. He desires to use you. What's done is just a representation of your faithfulness to him. And it's all to his glory. A blessing, we know, is a favor bestowed and a response of being pleased by the one giving the blessing. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." It is certainly true that as you do get to know the Lord better, that you do desire to waste everything, so to speak, on him. Just as we were singing before we got into Exodus. You know, the woman who had broken the flask and poured all that oil, all that fragrant oil, and anointed Jesus. It's a waste in the eyes of the world, but it's not a waste in the eyes of the Lord. Definitely not. It's a blessing to him. It definitely, as Mandy was saying, it's a fragrance that is pleasing to the Lord. There is nothing that is of value here on earth that will be lasting in heaven if it's not for his glory. We want to build up treasure in heaven. The earthly treasure, that'll come and go. That will come and go. Wasted on Jesus Christ, it'll be wasted here, but it'll be eternal in heaven. Because ultimately we're seeking God's blessing as he is pleased by the faith that we express in him. And know that our reward is great indeed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, be encouraged. We have this example before us of the Israelites. You know, all that they accomplished was something actually, if you think about it, the Lord accomplished through willing vessels. He's the one that imparted to them a skill that was divine, a strength that was divine, an awakening of their spirit that came divinely to them. All of it was attributed to the Lord. There wasn't one little thing that you can't say, God did it. God did it all. So be encouraged. If there's a stirring in your own heart It's because God is doing it. And as he lays out this work before you, stand up and move forward. Take a step. It is a step of faith, but I can tell you that that is what pleases God. For without faith, it's impossible to please him, according to Hebrews 11:6. Step out. I personally would love to see more done through this little church called Refuge. I know that there are teachers. I know that there are people who are called to go out street witnessing, who are to lead teams in doing that. I know there is more work to be done in and through this church. And I look forward to seeing God stir you up and send you out to do that work. I know that it's him doing that work through you. Now, again, in closing, the Israelites were imperfect people that failed time and time again. And yet, as they repented and turned back to the Lord, they were still being used by God. And God never forsook them. He used them. He completed a work through them, as he commanded them to do, and gave them the ability to do so. Done as the Lord commanded, it is possible, so be encouraged, I hope, I pray. God shows us through events like this how it is that he desires to do a work through us. And truly, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Be willing to surrender to the power of God in your life to do a work that he desires to do. Again, I remind you of Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By the way, you can see other examples of the work that God does through people in the Bible. They're numerous, but it's people like Nehemiah that had this broken heart toward that which pertained to the Lord back in Jerusalem. You see, even Jonah, the reluctant prophet, he wanted to go the other way, but God still used him, right? And it was all about saving people, and he used this vessel. He still used them, even though he was reluctant. We know Esther, Paul, Peter, John, and so many others. But really, the Bible is full of examples for us of people who were used by God to fulfill his will, his plans. And they serve to encourage us. They are imperfect people just as we are. And yet, if we're willing to be used by him, he's willing to use us. All right. Let's pray. All right, Father. Lord, as we come to a close in seeing how it is that the tabernacle did come together. And it wasn't something that you just put together yourself without us. Lord, without people, but you use people to do these things. All the details, Lord, you enabled each and every person, each and every craftsman, Lord, to do. And Lord, there were willing people who were there to give generously to this work. And they came and they gave first thing in the morning. They gave, you could say, of their first fruits. Lord, may we look at that as a good example of how it is that we should give of the first part of our lives. Each and every day to you, to the work that you have for us to do. May we learn to trust you and know that you are able, as we are willing, to do your work and complete it. I ask, Father, that you would continue to stir your people, that you would move us and wake us up, Lord. Have us stand up and move forward and do even more that you have for us to do. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.